All right, Genesis chapter 4 in verse 1. And if you will, turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Genesis chapter 4 verse 1 says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now this morning we're going to see in these two men what God regards as the more excellent sacrifice. The more excellent sacrifice. Now, first thing we see is there's no difference in Cain and Abel according to the flesh. Both are sons of Adam. Both are born with the same corrupt nature that Adam passed on to them through natural generation. As we'll see next, both came to make an offering unto the Lord. Probably both were taught by Adam the promise of Christ to come, which God taught Adam in the garden when he slew an animal and made coats of skins and covered Adam and Eve. But Hebrews 4 tells us something that shows us what the difference was between these two. Hebrews 11, verse 4, says, By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How did Abel have this faith in God? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Abel had faith the same way every sinner has faith. He was born of the Spirit of God. Look down at verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we see Abel, according to the Scriptures, was born of the Spirit of God. No man to come to the Father, lest he be drawn of the Father, born of the Spirit of God, given faith by God. And by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel was the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus, and what we see here is a good work. He brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, but he brought it by faith. He brought it by faith. This was a work God had ordained before that he should walk in, and he's walking in it by God's grace. Now, this is the fruit of grace. Faith is the God speaks, faith hears, faith believes, and faith obeys. This is the simplicity of faith. Faith hears the Word of God, faith believes God, and faith obeys God. Faith stands only on the rock, Christ Jesus. It has no ear but for heavenly wisdom. Faith does. Faith trusts only in what the finger of God writes. Faith reasons this way: the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That's the reasoning of faith. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now think on this. Here Abel is in the twilight of creation, in the twilight of the world, and he's believing on the Son of Righteousness, who's yet to come far, 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 far down the road. And yet he stumbled not, he staggered not in unbelief. He believed God, he believed the promises God had given him. Now, here you sit at the end of the world, in the last days, which have been since our Lord walked this earth, with the full blaze of the Son of Righteousness shining. Now what will you do? What will you do? Well, let's see the difference that grace makes. Verse 3. Genesis 4, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Cain is a tiller of the ground. He's a farmer, and he offered the fruit of the ground. The way which Cain came to God manifests what was in his heart. This manifests what was in his heart. The way in which you come to God manifests what's in your heart. Cain offered unto the Lord his self-will. That's what he offered to God. God has ordained the way in which he was to be approached. And Cain's been taught this way. He's been taught this way. But he comes with something that in his estimation is more dignifying than blood. He places his puny reason above almighty wisdom and decides he'll come another way than how God's commanded he come. And he comes not in the truth of God, but he comes in a lie. He's professing himself to be wise, and he's become a fool. And he's worshiping and serving the creature, his self, his will, his way, more than the Creator. He's bringing the work of his own hand, the fruit of his own hand. Cain offered his own pride. That's what he's offering unto the Lord, his own pride. Blood signifies the need of pardon of sin. This was both a sin offering and a burnt offering. This is what was shown here in this offering. This lamb was slain, and this fat of it was burned. This was to be an offering, a burnt offering, a thank offering, a praise offering unto God. And Cain comes with something he's worked out by his own hand to give. So he doesn't come by faith in Christ. And he's coming in pride. He's coming with these best fruits that he's grown that he's going to bring. That he's going to offer up. But he's not coming by faith in God. In the promise of God. This is the deceitful heart. This is what it imagines. That we're rich and we have need of nothing, when in fact we're lame and blind and out of the way and in need of God's grace. This is pride. Pride. Cain is offering the Lord unbelief. That's what he's offering him. Unbelief. God has set before him redemption by Jesus Christ in the promise and in type here. And he's closed his eyes and he won't behold God. He won't look to God. He's closed his hand. He won't lay hold of Christ. He's stumbled at the sure foundation. He's closed his ears and he won't hear him. He's closed his heart. He won't receive him. This is the situation of all sinners born in Adam. From the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And this is what Cain is bringing to offer unto God. Now let's look at Abel. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought. He came. He brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Abel selects the firstborn of his flock. He selects the very best lamb, a spotless lamb. And he offers the fat thereof with it. His lamb was slain. The blood was poured out. It was put upon the altar. It was burned. And the fat was burned with it. Abel confesses, this is what he justly deserves. He's confessing that in himself he's lost, he's ruined, he's undone apart from God's free justifying grace in Christ. He's confessing that he has no power to save himself, but he's got to be saved by the blood of Christ the Lamb. He's confessing that all his works Everything that he does before God has got to be received by faith in Christ, upon the finished, sure, complete foundation of redemption accomplished. Abel confesses here he believes God. That's what he's confessing when he comes this way. By faith, he's laid hold of the promised Messiah. By faith, he's trusting in the blood. He sees Christ afar off. By faith, he's trusting that he's complete in God's Christ, in God's Messiah, in the promised one. That's how he comes. And by faith, he's confessing he needs Christ to be his high priest, to be his mediator, to be his intercessor, to be his all, to be his complete acceptance with God. Now, let's see what the Lord says. Verse 4. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. The Lord accepted Abel in the Beloved. Christ hadn't come yet. Christ hadn't come to the cross yet. Christ hadn't laid down his life on the cross. How is it he accepted him in the Beloved? You hear me talk about the word surety? Christ is surety for his people. He's surety, meaning it's done. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's done from the foundation of the world. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. And by faith, being born of the Spirit of God, coming the way every sinner comes to God, Abel's accepted in the Beloved. Abel has been fully pardoned. He's been fully justified. He's been fully sanctified. He's holy and accepted of God. In all his works, coming and offering this most excellent sacrifice, he did this by faith. And God looked upon this work and said, well done. Well pleasing. Because it was a work and an offering unto the Lord that was in the Lord and was accepted through the blood of the Lord. Well, what about Cain? Verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering the Lord had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain got very angry at God and at Abel. Very angry. Now, enmity against God is what Cain was when he came with his offering. It's what he was when he approached God with these fruits that he had grown himself. It's what he was when he came to God that way. But now, he's done all these works. He's done all this work, and he's beholding God doesn't receive him. God doesn't have respect unto everything he's done. And that enmity can't be hidden. He's angry at God. And he's angry at his brother who God accepted, whom God's pleased with, and whose offering he had respect to. There's no joy and there's no peace. No matter what your service to God is, no matter what you do, there's no peace, there's no assurance, except you be settled in this grand truth that you're complete in Christ. Until the end, you'll be like Adam and Eve. They worked and worked and worked to put those fig leaves together. They knew something had to be done. They had to have a covering of some sort, and they worked and worked and worked to put those together. And then when they heard the voice of the Lord, they weren't assured that all their working was going to be accepted of God. And they had to do something more. They went and tried to hide themselves in the trees. And that's what it is if you don't have faith in Christ. If you don't trust Christ and are resting in Him. We're not trying to get a reward from God. We've got the pearl of great price. We're not trying to gain acceptance with God. We're accepted with God by faith in Christ. We're not trying to become more to add to redemption, to add to justification, to add to the finished work of His sanctifying grace. We want to be nearer to Him and enjoying to Him and becoming to God only in Him, confessing in everything we do, He's our full, complete assurance and acceptance with God. We're resting there. Resting there. That's where peace is. That's where comfort is. That's where it is. Abel had that peace. He had it. This is what Hebrews 11 says. He obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. He obtained that witness. Where? In the heart God's made new. God purged his conscience. And he had peace with God. He knew in his heart he's accepted of God in Christ the Lord. By faith, he obtained witness. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We don't yet know what we shall be, but we know when he comes, we'll be like him. We'll be like him. And we have the witness. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And this is through faith. Faith doesn't add to what's been accomplished. Faith merely receives it. I think the illustration I gave you before was, you know, you go to the water faucet and you turn the water faucet on and water comes out of the faucet and you get a cool drink of water. Robert, you didn't do one thing to make that water faucet be there. Your father put the water faucet there. Your father installed it and put it where it is. You just receive water through it. That's what faith is. God put it there and you believe God. It's an active thing. You believe Him. God doesn't believe for you. You believe Him. But it's merely the conduit through which you receive the testimony of God that God's done all the work in His Son and you accept it. And everything we do, we come to God on that foundation. Those priests, that all those sockets and everything that was laid for that foundation in the tabernacle was so heavy. And I think I figured it up one time. It weighed around 1,500 pounds when it was all disassembled and moved. And that foundation was made from the pure silver shekel of the sanctuary. And God said, and it's given for you to remember your redemption when you were brought out of Egypt. And everything, and that's what those sockets were made out of. That foundation was made out of. And everything the priest did in that tabernacle, they did on that finished foundation. They didn't add to that foundation. That's how Abel was accepted. That's why his offering was a more excellent sacrifice. He came in Christ. Well, look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? He's the firstborn son. He's come with the best. He thought he was bringing his best. He came, and he's thinking by a lot of natural reasons that God ought to accept him. And God says to him, why are you mad? Why is your countenance fallen? And he says in verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If you come in Christ, shall not you be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. It's not that God's not willing to save all those that come in Christ the Lamb with the more excellent sacrifice. That's not what the problem is. The Lord said the problem is, you will not come unto me that you might have life. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. And because their deeds were evil, because Cain's own deeds here, these religious deeds were evil, he wouldn't come to the light lest God reprove him for these deeds. But the doer of truth comes to the light as Abel did, confessing all his deeds are wrought in God. That's what he was confessing the way he came. That everything was wrought in God. And now look at this hardness of heart. Look at this hardness of heart, brethren. I want you to see this. Even when he's told this, even when God has taught Cain this, told him this, look what Cain does. This is what was in his heart when he came. This is why that sacrifice was rejected. This is why he was not accepted of God, because this was what is in his heart the whole time. Murder. Murder. Still, instead of hearing God's word and coming to God in the sacrifice with which God will receive, in the more excellent sacrifice, by faith, what does he do? He does the same thing he did when he came with the fruit of the ground, without blood. He does the same thing he did then. He murdered. He trampled underfoot the Son of God. And now, when that sin's aggravated, he tramples underfoot his own flesh and blood, his own brother. Look, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Slew him. Works and grace don't mix. They never have. Works and grace just don't mix. They don't mix. We can't mix them. We can't mix them. It's an impossibility for us to. It's really not truthful for us to say that we have mixed law and grace. It's an impossibility. You can't do that. You really can't. This is what the Scripture says about it. If it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more works. But if it's by works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. It's either one or the other. Not a mixture. We may look like we're trying to mix them, but we either come in all in grace or all in works. It's only two ways there are. Only two ways there are. Now, Satan threatens, and your conscience accuses you. The law condemns you. Your wounds are deep and heavy and incurable by anything you do. If you look to yourself, you're going to find despair. If you look to the world, they're going to mock you. If you look to reform, you look into a broken cistern. If you look to performances of devotion, it's going to be a broken reed that's going to pierce your hand. Abel is yet testifying. And here's what he says. Hear him. He says, this day, flee to Christ by faith and come to God with the more excellent sacrifice. And God will receive you. God will receive you. Complete in him. All right.